hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're gonna start a new life under the sea.
So, am I gonna drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Now, we kicked off the show today connecting with Roz via Skype in New Zealand. And before I let her go, I did do this on the air, but before I let her go, she mentioned there was a, there was someone else there with her in New Zealand that we might want to talk to that specializes in places to dive that may be on your bucket list. Ultimate diver list. He has a website, lustforrust.co. I don't really know what that means. Maybe it's some kind of UK thing, but it sounds interesting. And he's going to places like Bikini Atoll. And I saw a TV special on the Discovery Channel, I don't know, 3-4 years ago about that. And there was some amazing shark footage that I saw. And I haven't heard much about diving that part of the world myself. But Peter Messley, I think that's I'm saying the name right, Peter, is on Scuba Radio right now. Did I get it right, Pete, or grew it close enough?
Yeah, you got it right, mate. You got it right.
All right. Fair enough. Good. At least we got one thing right. We're on a roll. We're on a roll. So let's talk about diving Bikini Atoll. First of all, this was like a bombing range or something. What? Give me the history.
Sure. In 1946, basically what happened is after the first two atomic bombs were set off, and obviously that's Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the Americans just didn't know what atomic bombs would do to a naval fleet. So they decided to gather up 95 odd ships and take it to a place in which they'd chosen to be Bikini Atoll. And they dropped two bombs, one Able bomb, which is the first one in 1946, where it was detonated 150 meters above sea level, and basically that immediately destroyed 11 ships, and they thought, oh yeah, that's pretty good. And then the second bomb, Baker, they decided to detonate 40 meters below the surface within the fleet, and that sunk another 5 ships.
Wow.
And disabled so basically what we've got is we've got massive ships like the USS Saratoga, which is an aircraft carrier, 267 meters long. I don't know what that is in foot. I think it's, 600 foot odd long, aircraft carrier, which is sitting in 50 meters. So, Roz, you do the conversions here. What's 50 meters in foot?
Google it.
About 150 foot?
About 150, 160 foot, to the sand. And, we've got the Japanese flagship, the HRJMS Nagato, which Admiral Yamashiro gave the order for Pearl Harbor. So there's a lot of history there, and again, just diving these wrecks in crystal clear water is just astounding and amazing.
Yeah, well, I remember watching this TV special. It was one of the first times where divers were allowed into it, and they were like schooling sharks or some crazy stuff. But there was an issue at the beginning of the film, like, is there still nuclear stuff going on? But it's all clear now where people can go there and dive and don't have to worry about, sprouting a third nipple or anything. Is that right?
Are you talking about the radiation?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Mate. Listen, if you're thinking about having any kids in the future, you probably might not want to come,
Okay.
But if you And I'm only joking. It's all there's scientists that go there a couple of times a year, and they do all the testing. And I think you get more of a nuclear buzz out of microwaving your baked beans, you know,
right?
Than getting nuked in bikini. So right. So it's pretty safe, mate.
Yeah, but it's kept the crowds away, so it's unspoiled diving, I guess, in that sense. And you say the conditions are just phenomenal visibility. And what about the marine life? Have they just taken residence in all these shipwrecks then? And that's what makes it so spectacular, or what?
Greg, it's a great question. The marine life around Bikini is quite unique because they've got, you talked about the sharks. There's a place up in the northern pass there called Shark Pass, and you know, Matt, you can get pretty close to some pretty big fish there, you know, and they're pretty excited to see you, so you have to sort of like kick them off quite often. So you know, we're looking at maybe 150 sharks in one area, you know. So but that's just like a little bonus. But as for aquatic life, there's quite a limited amount of fish life around the wrecks, and even very, very limited corals and soft and hard corals around the nuclear fleet, you know, like nothing like Truk Lagoon, where the aquatic life is just incredible, you know, just a huge amount of aquatic life. But I think Bikini, if you have a lust for rust and you love your wrecks, well then Bikini's it's just gonna tick every box. And as a kid, you know, a new diver, you know, everybody has Bikini Atoll at the top of their list, and everything that you ever thought about is and more is will be fulfilled in getting over there, you know.
Got it. And as far as the type of diving we're talking, are we talking a doubles technical type of diving, or is it just open circuit type diving you're doing, or a little bit of everything? What do you mean?
Yeah, Greg, the diving there, it's all 160 foot stuff, you know. So
okay.
So you have to be a minimum extended range diver or more. I cater specifically for rebreather divers and open circuit. So you know, we got manifolded twins. I've got rebreather cylinders. We got helium. We got sorb. We got two oxygen generation plants. We got a 46 inch twin locked recompression chamber, and you know, I take hyperbaric emergency hyperbaric physicians and all the rest of it on all of my trips. So we try to cover all the bases, you know, tick all the boxes.
Well, go ahead, Roz.
I think he's taking Simon Mitchell with him on this expedition. Simon, I've mentioned before, he's a leading anesthesiologist, and he's a good expert to have on hand, isn't he? And also, he's actually a fun guy to dive with.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Simon, he's not only is he the guy that you want to have on your trip, because if anyone's going to get you out of trouble, it's going to be him, you know. But he's also really fun guy and a great diver, and he likes to mix it up with the best of them, you know.
Yes, he does. He basically is the guy who knows everything and anything about rebreather diving or the guy's just a genius, but just a very approachable guy too. Would even take time to talk to some schmo like me and answer a few basic questions. I love it. So you go out on this trip, and it's a massive liveaboard type of operation, I'm guessing, from the way you're describing all this gear, right?
It's a 24 meter vessel. It's a working man's boat, you know. It's not a gym palace, but it does everything that you want. You know, we have to steam out, as I mentioned earlier, on 30 hours from Kwajalein to get to Bikini. So, and some of the best food that I've ever had in my diving career had been on board. So we're really excited about the trip, you know, and just getting people out there, being around a group of like-minded people. It's fantastic.
Yeah, well, it sounds like an amazing adventure and a very rare opportunity to be able to dive this part of the world, because you only do it once or twice a year. Is that what you were saying? And you're one of the few that have access to it, or what?
That's right, mate. You know, because the logistics are just so difficult to get to the place and all the rest of it. So there's only sort of from May to September. That's when we run the trips.
Okay, and then they can get information at Lust.com. forrust.co. What kind of price range are we talking about for an adventure like this, Pete?
Well, there's no getting around that. You're going to limp for a while. it's a $6,500 trip.
Okay. But it's a trip of a lifetime. That's within reason for something like that, sure.
That's right, and I've been led to believe your listeners are all loaded. So not only are they loaded, but they've got a great passion for diving, and what a better place to go and empty their pockets a bit, you know?
Sure. Well, I'm not sure if they're loaded, but if they're like me, they're at least full of it. So we'll go with that and leave it there. Lustforrust.co, go check it out, and you could be diving Bikini Atoll. Thank you so much, Peter. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Greg.
We're coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Here on the island. Here on the island.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to fish heads, I guess you could say. Why not? We like them. We like to see them. Not necessarily separated from their bodies. At least me. Maybe you're different that way. Depending on the kind of fish, maybe you like spearfish and that kind of thing. And that brings us to a segment on today's broadcast where we connect with our legislative liaison in Tallahassee, Florida, Bob Harris. Is the man in the know when it comes to especially legislative issues affecting Florida divers, if not the entire United States. And Bob is on Scuba Radio right now. How are you, Bob?
I'm fine, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. So you're keeping an eye out for, you know, potential problems for divers from a legislative standpoint, at least there in Tallahassee, Florida, right?
I am. We're up here 24/7, 365 days a year, and trying to make sure the legislature leaves the diving world alone.
Yes, leave us alone, because usually they have no clue what they're doing, especially when it comes to things related to scuba diving. They just don't have any clue of how their laws and rules affect what we can do and what we can't.
We need to get them in the water more often.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Dive Day here in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
In just a bit, which is basically, a plan to educate them in that regard. But first, yep, before we get to that, let's talk about some issues that have popped up on your radar. I know there's been some thing floating through the Florida legislature about possibly, or no, I guess this is Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, talked about reclassifying particular types of fish. Now, why would this matter to divers?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Greg, because it's important. Because particularly the chairman of the commission thought was a great marketing idea was to create two classifications for fish, a game fish classification and a sports fish classification. And depending upon which classification the fish were placed in, entitled that fish to certain protections. For example, under game fish, kind of a lower level, you could still spear those fish. We could go diving and enjoy spearing those fish. But if a particular fish were put in the sport fish classification, then we could not. Spearing, diving, taking those fish in any way other than hook and line, catch and release would be prohibited. Hmm. What the commission was proposing, the chairman in particular was proposing, was what I kind of called kind of a Trojan horse. They were saying, look, we're just going to create the classifications, but we're not going to tell you which fish are going to go in which classification. Let's worry about that later. We just want to create the classifications for marketing purposes to make Florida the number one fishing destination in the world. But we'll tell you the particular fish later on. Sort of like get the Trojan horse inside the fence, and then later on we'll tell you what the danger is. So, you know, again, we never knew going to this meeting what particular kind of fish would be in there. The problem, of course, is if a lot of fish that were very popular for divers to take were put in the sport fish category, then divers would be precluded from taking those fish at all.
Well, that wouldn't be any fair. That would just it sounds like a recreational fishing community or something trying to, you know, maybe push the divers aside or the spear fishermen aside so they could have a, I don't know, better recreational fishing to themselves, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was, again, it was from a political point of view, it was probably a good move on their part to try to exclude both commercial fishing as well as the divers away from the fish that they want to take so that everyone's on a boat, which I don't mind. You know, boating and fishing is a lot of fun, mm-hmm, but not to the exclusion of others that have the same rights to take those fish as everyone else. But
right,
that was their idea, I think.
Interesting. Okay, but that has been derailed at least for now because you got wind of it, everybody started organizing, and at least for now it's been tabled?
It's true. What happened was we had a meeting and a bunch of divers came and made presentations to the commission, and I think it was a very thoughtful discussion. By the end of the discussion, the members expressed their views, the rest of the members of the commission. I want to specifically say Kathy Barco, who was outstanding and who really got to the core of the issue and understood what the implications and with her leadership. And they said, all right, let's put this off. We'll approach it another way. And the chairman withdrew the proposal there at the meeting. So it was a good job by divers to make very thoughtful conversation, thoughtful testimony to the commission.
Well, there you go. And unfortunately, though, that doesn't mean it's done for good, and that's why Bob Harris is there in Tallahassee to kind of keep an eye out for these things that, you know, pop up their ugly head every now and then. So keep at it in that regard. Now, I know there's some other stuff going on with the Florida Keys Marine Sanctuary. Basically, they're closing it down because of sequestration, right?
Clearly, there's not enough money to operate the Keys, so they're closing it down.
Yeah, no.
Square mile by square mile. I just wish the people in Washington would, you know, if they had a balanced budget like we do here in Florida, the discussions would be entirely different.
Yeah. Well, I kid. We kid. But there is actually some new developments affecting the National Marine Sanctuary, though, right? Or what is going on?
Yeah, we have received word of late that they want to revisit the issue of the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. The regulations that are in place, the standards that are in place, they were developed many years ago, and I think just they want to bring back all the interested groups, have a conversation, what's going well, what needs to be changed. Let's kind of revisit it. And of course, from a diving point of view, you know, we sat at the table with all those people many years ago, and were able to protect and make sure that diving was not seen as a consumptive use, very important,
mm-hmm.
so that we could go to these places and see the fish and enjoy them, what we enjoy doing underwater. And so we'll just have to make sure that nothing has changed from that basic viewpoint that diving is not considered to be a consumptive use, and we'll continue to be able to enjoy the waters off the Keys.
So let's talk about Dive Day. Dive Day is, let's see, April, I believe. What was it?
April 17th.
April 17th. So yeah, basically you set up in the rotunda there in Tallahassee, and what is this, during their lunch hours, and then you just throw water on them and say, hey, that's what it's like to be a diver. No, what's
yeah.
going on?
We throw beads at them, so like Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
That'll work. What do they got to do to get them, though?
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing they do to get their votes and get in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh,
you've
boy.
Got the perfect perspective of this place. But no, it's really a fun day, and we've been doing this on and off for a number of years. We used to have in the old days before they put an end to it. A big wave Dave and the Dima pool would come and be in the courtyard. And but what we do on Dive Day is bring down dive-related businesses, products and retailers and so forth to come and set up inside the Capitol in the rotunda so that when everyone who walks in that particular day sees what the dive industry is about, and we go around and meet with legislators to just remind them how important the diving industry is, the economic value, the individuals that are involved, the small businesses, and make sure they understand well why diving is so important and why Florida is still the number one diving destination in the world.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll translate into passing laws and rules that at least look out for our best interests as well. So it's good work. Dive Day in Tallahassee, April 17th. We'll be covering it as usual here at Scuba Radio. Bob, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Greg, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
We're off to Grenada next to fly rebreathers. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. And, you know, if you've been following some of the stuff on Facebook, the Scuba Radio Facebook page, you may have seen a few postings from me about my flying adventures. Yes, I'm very close to getting my private pilot's license. And this is going to translate into Scuba Radio big time because I'll be able to fly places that are difficult to get to in order to scuba dive them. So that is my ultimate goal, and I'm definitely getting towards the end of this journey on becoming a certified pilot. A guy I know who can relate to this somewhat because he flies rebreathers in Grenada is Peter from Aquanauts Grenada. How are you, Peter?
Hey, I'm wonderful, Greg. I'm wonderful. Still flying.
Still flying. Yeah, I saw on your Facebook page you actually just did a flight. So I thought you were joking when you emailed me this picture, actually, and you said, hey, Greg, look at me. I'm just like you, learning to fly a plane. I thought you were just posing in a plane, but you actually took a flight in something, right? It was a diving friend of yours that took you up in some kind of World War II bomber or something. What the heck was that?
Yeah, it was kind of, it's a show airplane that they do air shows with, so all the crazy things. So, and, you know, after I've been diving with lots of hammerheads,
yeah.
I got to fly one. Have you ever flown a hammerhead?
I have not flown a hammerhead, but it sounds like...
You know what a hammerhead is?
Well, evidently it's a show plane. I'm guessing.
It's a show plane. So basically when he flies the hammerhead, he does a looping. You know what a looping is?
Yes, the loop-de-loops, yes.
The hammerhead...
Those barrel rolls.
He flies the looping sideways.
Ah, okay. So that can't be very good for the stomach, I'm guessing.
No. They gave me two bags, but I didn't need
it. It was a two-bagger flight, but you being the the world traveler and super diver, that where seasickness is not an issue, did not translate. Yeah. He thought for sure it could make you blow, but no such luck. So you flew, you took the flight, you loved it. Did you find it similar to flying a rebreather or no?
I mean, the same thing. When I see him going through the whole process, starting up the airplane, making sure everything is working.
Checklist,
like we do on our rebreather.
That's right.
That's why I like pilots.
I'm working towards it. Okay, hold on. Let's take a break and we'll get back with this and get more focused on diving next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, hey, who wants to have some fun?
Come on, get down, walking on down. Come on, get down, get down. Come on, get down, walking on down. Come on, get down, get down. Come on, get down, walking on down. Get down, walking on down.
All right, so we're kind of talking about flying and how it relates to learning to dive a rebreather. I got Peter from Aquanauts Grenada on the line. He is a rebreather trainer for silent dive, for the Inspiration, the Evolution. He just, the guy like lives underwater. He gets so much bottom time. It's amazing he's not shriveled up like a California raisin or something. You know what I'm saying, Peter?
Yes, exactly. That's what it is. And it's been a real busy winter. We had lots of rebreather divers here. We had, did lots of courses, lots of training, trial dives, everything. It was great.
Yeah. So you think that my pilot training will make me a better rebreather diver? Because, yeah, that was something that popped up when we were doing our training in Grenada on the Inspiration and Evolution, was the use of checklists. And that was kind of foreign to me up to that point. But now that I've went through this pilot training, that's all they do is checklists. And it seems like that kind of teaching technique that they use in aviation definitely has, is been put to use in the rebreather training market, you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a requirement still, but I think it needs to be more enforced in training, and people really need to understand. And, you know, rebreathers have a little bit still a dangerous reputation, but it's not like the rebreathers that are dangerous. It's people that are using it that do simple mistakes that can be avoided by using a simple checklist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not compromising it.
Yes, this is so true. I mean, and some of the checklists that I use in aviation are very basic things. Turn this on, turn this off, adjust this. You know, the same thing when you're setting up your rebreather. There's little things that you could forget to put in an O-ring here, or seal this particular hose, or whatever the case may be. But they're very small, minute, simple little things that if you forget to do, can cause very serious problems for you underwater. So I agree. Not only do I think it's a great idea for rebreathing, and now it even makes more sense to me, you know, after doing this pilot stuff, I think we ought to, you know, incorporate checklists maybe into more mainstream diving certification classes. What do you think?
Yeah, probably like the mainstream open circuit diving is very simple, it's very forgiving. But mm-hmm. So soon as you go technical, you go a little bit further, you've got to use certain check procedures and use checklists, and that's what all the serious people do. And it's actually the ones that don't who are not coming back.
True. And, you know, we mentioned this last week, Scuba Check. You can check that out. ScubaCheck.com. They've actually taken this, this technique and put it in a checklist form for scuba divers. And, you put that in your save a dive kit, if nothing else, to help you remember little odds and end type things like that. But let's get back to some of the diving in Grenada. I know you've been, putting on some serious miles, or tack time, as we like to say in the flying biz, on your rebreather. Where have you been diving in Grenada lately? You just been hanging out on the Bianca Sea all night or all day and all night or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit on the windy side now for this time of the year. So Bianca Sea is really like the main playground. You know, we explored some other sites where we can do really long extended dives. So when we go out, have open circuit divers on the boat, we cover 2-3 dive sites, you know, during 3 hours while they do their regular dives. And, you know, we just see us in the beginning and in the end of the dive trip.
Yeah, let me just make sure we say that again. He just said he had a 3-hour dive. He was under the water for 3 hours. I did this. And it'll be, yes. That was an amazing, that's probably one of my top 3 dives ever. Is to be underwater for 3 hours. You think, oh my God, that's way too long. But I'm telling you, it flew by literally. And it was like doing 4 or 5 different dives on the same dive. Cause we just kind of cruised from one area to another and went to one dive site and then drifted with the current and went to this other dive site, did a wreck here, did a reef there. It was just phenomenal. To this day, I can just, relive that one dive we did there in Grenada. That was just phenomenal. And to think that you could dive underwater for 3 hours and enjoy it so much on top of it, is an experience that every diver should go for. I mean, if you're into diving at all, this is definitely the next step. This is the, like, one step beyond that every diver should go to, I think. How's that for a testimonial for you there, Peter?
No, that is very good. I mean, I could not have said it any better. And for me, it's like the great thing when people come for training, they take up the course and, you know, and I tell them, you know what, by the end of this week, we're going to do a dive for 3 hours. And they just don't even believe you, you know.
Right. I didn't. I was like, oh,
and
3 hours.
You're doing
no
it, and everybody comes up with this big smile on his face, and it's just one of the greatest things to do.
Yeah. You know, I can't wait to do some more long dives like that again. I got some new GoPro cameras that I want to take down underwater, and these things are a little tricky. I'm not used to working with them, and you need time underwater to, futz with them a little bit and get that shot or that video that you really want to get. And that's where you really need extra bottom time. And a rebreather system like this, like the Inspiration or Evolution, is ideal for that kind of thing. I know you're really getting into the underwater pictures and stuff because of that as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of photography, and I got some GoPros as well to play around with, but I'm just starting to get a grip on it.
They take some getting used to, but you need time underwater to get used to using them and practice, and that's where having all that extra bottom time on a rebreather can really, show the benefits of diving a system like that.
And it's not only the time. I mean, it's like how close you can get to the marine life that you want to get into the shot. Especially if you're shooting a fisheye, like the little GoPro has, or it's like my favorite tool on any camera is the fisheye anyway.
Right.
So, but you got to come that very, very close to the object. And, you know, the rebreather helps a lot in doing this.
Yeah, getting closer to the subjects and no bubbles, no troubles.
Exactly.
You got so many pictures with bubbles in the wrong place. You know, try taking a picture of a mermaid. They have a tendency to have bubbles all over their face all the time. Mm-hmm. And, doing the rebreathers and that kind of thing. You got to get that, perfect shot without the bubbles and that crystal clear
and
water.
And now that you say it, you know, rebreather diving is so easy, even a mermaid can do it.
That's true. Yeah. You know, and, you know, that's, that says something. I'm not sure what exactly, but it does say something that you have a better shot at seeing a mermaid when you're on a rebreather, more bottom time. Better chance to see something crazy like that. You know, whether it's a mermaid, I don't know. What have you seen down there on the Bianca Sea lately? The eagle rays, any other big?
We had lots of eagle rays coming.
Yeah.
Schooling groups around it, and they circle, and you just sit in the middle of it. It's beautiful.
Well, you know, we were just talking to Neil Watson earlier. He was in Bimini. They're having great hammerhead sightings in Bimini right now. Do you have a seasonal type thing there in Grenada where some big pelagics cruise through at certain times of the year, whether it's whales or mantas or something?
At the moment, there's a lot of humpback whales in the area. We hear them singing pretty much on every dive.
Nice.
But they're further out at sea, so you really want to take a rough boat ride like in order to see them, but they're just passing here during that migration. You know, this is a good time. We have like the big nurse sharks coming in that have their babies in some of the bays. So we see really big pregnant ones. The mating season for the turtles has actually just started. I had to drive the boat yesterday on a quick trip. And as we're coming back, I caught two on the surface.
Yep. You were a voyeur. You were a turtle voyeur. Were you, Peter? So you get plenty of video. You throw it up there on YouTube and. It gets the explicit rating.
I was just driving the boat, and I see this big lump driving, drifting down the surface. And as I have come closer, I see, oh, it's two turtles in business.
Yes, in business, as we say. Yes, I like it.
So they're mating now, and the nesting season is going to start soon. And Grenada is like the second largest nesting ground for the leatherback turtles, which is very, very important. And we do a lot try to protect them down here.
So it's a little bit windy at this time of year, or the weather can be a little dicey, but it just depends on the day kind of thing, or what?
The weather is great. I mean, it's very dry, very little rain, or actually no rain since 2 weeks at the moment. And but the trade winds are blowing a little bit. So we have seas like 6 feet. So it's okay.
Yeah.
And the water is still in the 80s. I find it's a little bit chilly, you know, but.
Chilly in 80. Wow. You might be a warm water wussier guy than me, Peter. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
That's what all these years down here did to me.
Well, he's still a good friend, and so we'll leave it at that. All right, AquanautsGrenada.com. Go there and dive with Peter and Galinda at that fine dive operation on the Spice Island. You'll thank me later. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry, and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Let's put some distance between us and this island and head out to open sea.
Quit my job, sold my stuff, told everyone to know that I had enough. Say goodbye to my friends down at the restaurant.
Howdy, friend. Where are you headed?
Bought an extra ticket and I'm leaving tonight. It was just a dream, but now the time is right. Maybe you're the only one I want.
Boldly going where no man has gone before.
just you and me.
Hey, that's catchy.
Swinging in a hammock underneath the palm trees. Coconut drinks got us down on our knees in the island breeze. See, I can't, but I think I can live my life with a permanent tan. Taking life easy is my only plan, 'cause I'm an island man. Say I can't, but I think I can live my life with a permanent tan. Taking life easy is my only plan, 'cause I'm an island man.
That is the Scuba Cowboy. He is an island man, but I'll tell you, he loves liveaboard dive trips so much that he's going to join us on another one in January with Explorer Ventures, the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, January 18th to the 24th, Saba St. Kitts itinerary. It's going to be spectacular. I have Clay McArdle, the Big Cheese from Explorer Ventures, on Scuba Radio with me right now to basically go over the itinerary. But before we do that, Clay, let's talk about some of the specials you guys are offering. I believe, well, is it still because of your 25-year anniversary thing, or is this just because you're a generous individual?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both. You know, I'm an incredibly kind, generous individual.
You are.
But we are, you know, up until June 13th, it is still our 25th anniversary. We're coming up on 26, so we've got some amazing specials running this spring.
Yeah. And one of them's in the Galapagos, of all places, which you hardly ever find great deals in the Galapagos, but right now you have something going on, right?
Amazing. We've got we had a couple of last-minute charter cancellations for this spring, and we're running a couple of trips for $1,000 off per person. That's only $29.95 per person plus free
wow.
Nitrox, which is an amazing deal for that destination.
That is. That is on anybody's list that knows anything about diving. And, you know, we've talked about some of the places that I haven't been, but I got to tell you, I've been to the Galapagos, and I'd go back in a heartbeat in the warmer months. But that's just me. I would still even go back at the time of year that I went, because we had killer whales. Yeah, you had dolphins. You had hammerhead sharks. You had every creature that you could imagine. Whale sharks. I don't think there was any marine life that I didn't see on that itinerary in the Galapagos. And, you know, it's a truly unique place on the planet, and you definitely need to go check that out. And the price, that is spectacular for that liveaboard trip, trust me on that. And that doesn't happen very often, so take advantage of it. 1-800-322-3577 or exploreventures.com. All right, so that is one place you can go, or you could, you know, book that one and then join us next year, first month of 2014. We got the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, January 18th, Saba itinerary. Let's go through this little adventure, because it's truly unique for a liveaboard excursion. Right, Clay?
It really is. You know, this is the itinerary we've been running since 1987 with the original Caribbean Explorer, and we're running it now with Caribbean Explorer 2, which is an 18-passenger liveaboard with you know, private bathrooms and in each cabin. And the unique thing about the itinerary really is that it's a dedicated liveaboard, obviously. We do 5 dives a day. You have a chance to do up to 27 dives during the course of the week. But we also visit 3 different countries during the course of the week. So you can take island tours. You can spend additional time ashore if you want to do that. But it really adds some variety for the trip. It's a great destination both for experienced divers and for the people that haven't tried a liveaboard before and aren't quite sure they want to. They want to be on a boat for an entire week. They've got the option to get off if they decide to do something else.
Yeah, and I would say that's probably the, you know, number one objection most divers have when you talk to them about a liveaboard dive adventure if they've never been on one before. They're like, oh, I'm not good on boats. I don't like cruises or whatever. But this is truly a unique experience. And once you do it, and then when you tell them, like, hey, look, on this trip, you actually can get off 2 or 3 times during the week. And if you are having any issues, you actually have some reprieve by spending some island time in Saba, especially, which would just blow your mind on the land visit. I love going to that island.
It's a completely unique place. I mean, Saba is 5 square miles. It's straight up, straight down. 1,100 inhabitants, and you know, just a very colorful history in who settled the place, how the road was built there. One of the cleanest, most pleasant places you'll find in the Caribbean or anywhere else for that matter.
Yeah, it really is a unique island. Of all the Caribbean islands out there, it definitely stands out as is just unique compared to all the other islands that you've been on. This thing is just straight up out of the ocean, steep cliffs and things. It's fun to hang out on the, I don't remember what the name of that that cliff bar is that overlooks the airport, but that is fun watching. You know, yep. People watching or plane watching because they come in. It's one of the shortest runways in the world, and fun to just kick back after your day or have an afternoon cocktail there while you're on the island and watch the planes come in and out or just enjoy the scenery up top.
Yep, amazing. And it is actually the shortest commercial runway in the world, 1,100 feet. And, the other nice pastime in Statia is goat watching.
That's right. They fall off the mountain.
Yep, I kid you not. Exactly right. Yep.
People say, "Hey, watch for the goats. They're going to fall off." And sure enough, they'll start slipping down the side of the mountain. It's crazy. But I mean, it's just the marine life is all over, flying fish, and I could go on for days. I really could. You have got to book this trip. It's just such a great adventure. 1-800-322-3577. ExploreVentures.com. Book it and join us in January, or just book one of their other itineraries. And you will thank me later. Clay, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always. We'll be in touch, okay, buddy?
Sounds like a plan. Look forward to it.
All right, that'll do it for this week. Remember, till next week, it's always better. Where, Clay?
Down where it's wetter.
Especially on a Explorer Ventures liveaboard.
Well,
surely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Each little snail, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hotter under the water. Yeah, we get lucky, now we get lucky.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.